The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome, welcome to all of our friends, family, members, visitors, everyone in between. And we remember that many, many, many members of our congregation are on vacation today. So we are a small but powerful group. The Lord be with you. It's good to be here together and see together we will experience God in word, in sacrament, and in the presence of each other. We begin with the words printed in our bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
I invite all those who can stand to stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
By water and by the Holy Spirit, God gives you a new birth. And through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God forgives you all your sins. The God of mercy and might strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
How's the summer going for you?
Good.
Good. A little sad that it's almost over. Yeah. Ready to go back to school?
That's good.
But I hope you still have a few extra fun things to do before that. But I have a question for you. Well,
he's 13 today.
Oh. Okay. Well, we will save that for coffee hour. We'll have a rousing wander. Here's the chart. A rousing happy birthday.
Yay.
I'm hoping you're having fun today doing something special. And thank you for being here on your birthday. That warms my heart. Well, I have a question for you guys today. Do you like pirates?
Yeah.
Do you like a good pirate story?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, yeah. Do you like Captain Jack Sparrow? Yeah. Well, what does every pirate secretly desire?
Treasure.
Treasure, right? And where is that treasure?
On a map.
Well, the treasure's not on a map. It's buried in some lost island, isn't it, right? And this is my attempt of a pirate map. Well, there's always a secret pirate map where the treasure is. And until the pirate gets that treasure, where is the pirate's heart?
Sea.
It's at sea, yes, but secretly here, right? Secretly is where the treasure is. Their whole life is to find this treasure map. To find the treasure on the map, see, it's hard to say, right? Well, Jesus is talking today, and he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And it's like the pirate and this pirate map.
There's three locations.
There's three locations, yes. We have an astute observer. Because X marks the spots, right? So if we start here, I gotta look down here. Where did I say start? This is the Cliffs of Doom right here. So we have to, yeah, start right here. And I did attempt to make a, like, draw a little wave or a surfer there, but they didn't quite come out. It's just the mud. But anyway, so when we start here, and we're gonna find three different X's. Actually, only two X's, there should be a third.
There is three.
There is three. Yes, yes, there is three. Get it right! Well, the first X is up here by the mountain, and we could bury our treasure at Candy Mountain, because candy is good. And on this deserted pirate island, there also happens to be a toy store. We could bury our treasure at the toy store, or we could also bury our treasure at the Kingdom of God. And remember, sounds exciting. Yep. A deserted. Oh, just a deserted. Yes. Yes. It's a deserted map. The island is not quite deserted. It's deserted, but nonetheless, you see, wherever our treasure is buried, that's where our heart is going to be. So if you decide to bury all your treasure in the candy store, your heart will be in the candy store. And if you decide to bury all your treasure in the toy store, your heart will be in the toy store. Yet there is a baby seagull. Yes, his name is Bob. Or we could bury our treasure at God's kingdom. And so the challenge for us, for Jesus, is to find and choose where we bury our treasure. So let us pray. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for the treasure of your love.
Thank you for the treasure of your love.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. On the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, our first reading comes from Genesis chapter 15. Hear now the word. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house in Eliezer is of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, The man shall not be your heir, no one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, Look toward the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm can be found on page 5. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people chosen to be God's heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven and sees all humankind.
God sits firmly enthroned and watches all who dwell on the earth.
God fashions all their hearts and observes all their deeds.
A king is not saved by the size of the army, nor are warriors rescued by their great strength.
The horse gives vain hope for victory. Despite its great strength, it cannot save.
Truly, your eye is upon those who fear you, O Lord, upon those who wait for your steadfast love.
To deliver their lives from death, and to keep them alive in times of famine.
Our innermost being waits for you, Lord, our helper and our shield.
Surely our heart rejoices in you, for in your holy name we put our trust.
Let your loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us, even as we place our hope in you. Our second reading today is Hebrews chapter 11, a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Hear now the word. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith we understood that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak this way make it clear that they are seeking a home. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But that as it is, they deserve a better homeland, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give alms, make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, and no mouth destroys, no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action, and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their masters to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him. As soon as he comes and knocks, blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, friends, we have a great text about money, and so I shamelessly am going to use it just as a reminder to everyone that in September we are working towards the culmination of this year-long journey with endowments and planned giving. We will have Lisa Haybaum here on the 29th of the month of September for a presentation, and in preparation for that, we have this wonderful little book that we're using for our book club called Reflections on Faith and Finance, and a copy of this is available for all of our households. And I really would encourage people to read this book, to come to the book study, to be part of that conversation. But here's the truth. The discussion about money is not really about money. It's not about budgets. It's not about endowments. It's really not about that. What is money anyways? Well, that's a hard question. If you've ever spent a night trying to think of money, it's quite fascinating. It's not something that occurs in the natural world. It literally doesn't grow on trees. It's not real in any real sense. It's at most a broken symbol. A symbol of something from our ancient past that had to do something with trade, has something to do with the fact that I've got a pig and I want to go get an ear of corn, but my pig is a little bit more valuable than your ear of corn. So maybe somewhere in our ancestral past they came up with something called a symbol that represented what the pig was worth. They may have called it dollars or francs or pounds. But there you had 10 pounds for the pig, so you could buy a pound of corn. That somehow represented a tenth of your pig. Well, that's the theory, at least. We don't really know what it symbolizes anymore. As I said, at best, it's a broken symbol. Nowadays, and we probably will all live through this realization that money at some point will just be digits on a computer. There won't be any physicality to it any longer. So the discussion about money is not about money. I don't, if you give a legacy gift, if you do any of that, that's secondary to the question that Jesus raises. And the question is, where is your heart? And Jesus has some words of wisdom for us today. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. But notice, friends, we would like to say that in reverse. We would like to say, where your heart is, there's your treasure. But Jesus flips that. If you want to know where your heart is, find where your treasure is, because the heart follows the treasure. And so, as a spiritual discipline, or let me back up, there's two elements of this I want to talk about. One is an element of conviction. The second is an element of hope. So first, the conviction part. As a spiritual discipline, I invite you all to look at your own personal theological documents. And you all have them. They're called your budget. Your budget is your theological document that says, this is what I most value. But there's also another theological document that comes with that budget that is almost as important. It's your actual bank statement at the end of the month. Now compare those sometimes. Are there disconnects? Did you think what you wanted to put your treasure in, what were the desires of your heart, are those actually the things you put your treasure in? Because your treasure follows your heart. I suspect if you're like me, it's a mixed bag, right? It's a little bit of yes and no. There's some disconnect and some connection. Luther would say, we are both saint and sinner. So with that conviction comes some hope. We are not passive victims to our heart. I know sometimes in our culture we think like we are just a victim to what our heart wants. Jesus says you have some agency in this position. You can decide what to put your heart towards. And so he has some advice for us. If you want to love something, if you want to aim your heart towards something, one of the best paths of transformation to that is to invest in that. Investing isn't just money, right? It's your time, your talent, your energy. But if you want your heart to obtain something or aim towards something like a compass, invest in that. Because where your treasure is, there your heart. And friends, this isn't magic. This isn't a transaction. Don't think you can slap $5 down on the counter and then your heart will be changed. This harkens back to something I said a couple weeks ago, right? Jesus gave us the granddaddy of all wisdom sayings. Ask, seek, knock. That asking is deciding what it is you want to put your heart in. What is your aim? And then we go on a long journey of seeking those things. And so Jesus' advice here for us is once you have that aim, then you put down the investment. You make something the treasure of your heart, and you put what you treasure towards it. That, my friends, at least maybe begins the path of transformation. But as I said, the talk about money isn't about money. And all that I just said, I think, is true. But I don't really think that's what Jesus is teaching us today. Not only what Jesus is teaching us today. I was just like, kneecapped my whole sermon. starts with the great words, "Don't be afraid, little one, for your father's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom." See, we're not buying the kingdom, friends. It's already given to you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to strive for it. It is a gift, pure gift, because God loves you. Because God loved the world that he sent the Son to live for us, to die on our behalf, to unite us back to God. This, the gift, the precious pearl of great price that is given for you, it is yours by right. And the only question then maybe is, do I really want it? This great gift is there for me to live into, but do I desire it? That's the question of the spiritual journey. To quest for, to seek for the gift that we already have. The love that is already present in our life. To understand this gift of life and love that we have, to learn to value it. We don't earn it, but perhaps we each need to learn to value it more. And so, with this thought, the King, the God's good pleasure is to give you the kingdom. We come to this final parable. It's a parable I think we all initially scratch our heads with, is what is he saying about servants and masters and slaves? And that has a very troubling history in the church, right, and in our world. But look at how Jesus reverses the symbol. The world of grace, the world of God's kingdom is an upside-down kingdom. So when the master comes home, the slave. What does the slave do? All they do is open the door, and then the master comes in, ties on the apron, and prepares a meal. That, my friends, is grace. That, my friends, is what God's desire is, to prepare us a meal, to serve us. Christ is the one who came to serve. And maybe that is the final invitation, the real invitation of this passage. Well, friends, this is the meal. God's body, God's blood, present, given for us. And we are all invited to come and see what God has done, to taste and see God's goodness, God's love for us. And then may we go out and learn to treasure that through actions of love and our life. So friend, come. Come and eat. The Master is here. Amen.
Oh,
Bob enjoyed the sermon today. In solidarity with all creation, we join our voice to the voice of the whole church and pray for the needs of the world. Keep the heart of your church set firmly in you so that with lamps lit and attentive to Christ's call at any time or place, your people are ready to respond with faithful action for the sake of the world. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Worlds were prepared by your word. Speak healing and protection upon the earth, especially where life and habitats are threatened. Guide the work of astronomers and all who teach us about the stars and galaxies. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
You know the actions and deeds of the nations. Turn humanity away from instruments of war and violence. Fashion the hearts of world leaders to work for peace. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Let your loving kindness be on those in need, especially Joe, Carol, Missy, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Kareen, Julie, Dan, Paul, Dean, Mako, Elliot, Mike, Patricia, Kenneth, Tracy, Ian, Evan. For the immigrants and refugees that may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and in our world. And also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Assure all who are afraid or experiencing great uncertainty that your promises are sure. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Calm the fears of migrants and refugees who set out not knowing where they go. Provide shelter, sustenance, protection from harm, and welcome. Bless the work of Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service and other means of support and advocacy. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We celebrate the ancestors in the faith who built their lives on your promises and died having seen them only from a distance. Sustain us in our hope of things not seen. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Trusting in your loving kindness, we place our prayer and hope in you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Thank you.
I invite us to come back together and please stand for our offering hymn. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. Those who trust in you. He is the one
Handed over to death, he freely accepted in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve as your priestly people. Send your spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered as one, let us pray as our Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people. And all are welcome to come forward and receive at this place. In a moment, the usher will come and will ask you to fill up green rails from right to left. You may either stand or kneel, whatever is most comfortable for you, and then you will receive the bread in your hand. We have three options upon request. And then when the wine is passed around, we ask you to reach in. Either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is gracious. If you wish to come forward and just receive a blessing, you may do that also by crossing your hand. To know that all who come, and all means all, which means all, which means all who come, will be served at this table. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord and Savior, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Mothering God, you gathered us to your table, and we drink deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves, and proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Friends, we just pause a moment for some announcements, and in the bulletin we have our words of the week with everything going on in the week to come. And it's a special reminder that I'll be out of the office all of next week, traveling up to Washington for vacation and to marry my oldest son. Next Sunday we will be welcomed in John Newton, who will be back to lead us for his stay up north. As always, appreciate your prayers for the sake of the journey. And Sandy will be back in the office, so if you have any questions, direct them to Sandy. And I'll see you in a week, my friends. With that being said, let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. May the love of God abound in you. The grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ, fill your heart. And the life of the Spirit bless you and give you peace.